You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
You know what, can you turn with me to Matthew 11, 11? So here's something really cool. So John the Baptist was, and if you were here, what, Friday, I guess it was? Friday, you have heard this recap. But for the purpose of those that weren't here, John the Baptist was, he was separated from a young age, right? He was conceived before the Lord Jesus, right? John the Baptist was conceived first, and he was conceived second, right? And he was given a task to prepare the way of the Lord. To prepare the way of the Lord. So, an interesting thing that we're going to see is that John, right, was not born again. Right? John was not born again. He was not saved, right? Well, at least when he spoke throughout his life, he was not saved. And how do you know that? Well, because Jesus was still speaking to him in the flesh, right? You can't be saved if he hasn't even gotten to the cross yet, right? So, and there are other things. But here, let me show you something. In verse number 11, he says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of what? Born of women." Right? Now you ever heard, right, the way the Lord teaches us that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit, right? So what is it saying? I mean, sometimes I just say things that are a little facetious, but it's just to make us think, right? We all know, we heard the birds and the bees, right? We know that John was born of a woman. God doesn't have to tell us that. So why is it there? Why does he say born of a woman? So he says, of those that are born of a woman. So what is he doing? He's categorizing people. He's saying of those that are born of men, and those that are of the kingdom. And you can say, well, the people of the kingdom, they weren't born from a woman. Yes, they were, but they were born again. And that's what matters. Right? So he says that among those born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater one than John the Baptist. So among men that were born of a woman, right, the greatest is John the Baptist. But the one that is least in the kingdom, least. John the Baptist was not even least in the kingdom. Because he wasn't in the kingdom, right? The least in the kingdom of God, the least. He says, notwithstanding, he says, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is what? Greater than he. Why is there such a big difference? Because all that men that work by the will of men can do is produce the will of man. But the reason why John the Baptist is greater, why? Is because not only did he allow, like many men allowed, Abraham, David, Jacob, Isaac, many men, Elijah, the prophets, men, even though they were of the flesh and born of a woman and were not born again, they allowed the Spirit of God to work through their lives, right? And out of all of the men that just allowed the Spirit of God to work through their lives without the Spirit of God living in them. Out of all of the men that allowed the Spirit of God to work through them without having the Spirit of God in them, the greatest among those men is who? John the Baptist, right? Because he knew the Lord, had never seen him, right? And verified, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He knew that the only way for him, for Christ to increase was for him to decrease, right? When Christ was pulling more apostles than he was, more disciples, sorry, than he was, he didn't care, he didn't get envious, right? But you know that even he had his insecurities, right? Because even he, after he baptized Jesus, after he said, this is the Lamb of God who takes us away the sins of the world, when he's in jail, what does he say? He doubts and he asks Jesus, is this the one or should we look for another? John the Baptist said that. Now, you won't say that because you can't be born again and then wonder, maybe I'm really ain't. Maybe I'm not. Maybe Jesus really isn't Lord. Right? If you ask yourself that question and you say, maybe Jesus really isn't Lord, right? And that's how you live, right? With no consciousness and no understanding of who He is, right? I wouldn't even say that I'm born again then, right? Because if you're born again, you know. That's one of the things about being a child of God, and Miss Marianne was saying it, but that you know. And you may not know everything, but you know that He's Lord. You may not know everything, but you know that He's Lord, right? You know that He's Lord, and that means a lot, but you know that He's Lord. So he says, even those that are least in the kingdom of heaven are greater than these. So it's important to note that, right? That, and here's the understanding. Because what we're going to get into is more of a thing, and it would be so good for you to hear the message from Friday and even Wednesday before that. But when we talk about the will of God, right? Here's what's interesting. This message and what the Lord has been teaching us now, I believe it's the, if we can call it that, if that's what it really what it is, like the word that pops into my head is like the culmination or the pinnacle, the high place of where the Lord has been bringing us. Because the Lord for years, and somebody try to just off the top of your head just guess what it is. There's not going to be any wrong answer because we've been teaching a lot of things. But what is the one thing that is a four-letter word that God has been constantly teaching us for years that we should do something that our flesh should be at what? Like, what is the thing that we've been learning? Rest, right? All of you knew that. Rest, right? But what's the thing with the rest? You know, enough with the rest already, right? What's the thing with the rest? Here's the thing with the rest. Here's the thing with the rest, right? Every Christian alive wants God to do His will through them. Every Christian alive wants the will of God to be done through them. Every Christian alive wants that. But here's the big problem, right? Flesh can only produce what? Flesh. Flesh can only birth flesh. Among men that are born from women, John the Baptist is the greatest, right? Now, men that are born of God, they're all greater than him. Men that are born of God are all greater than him. Why? Because they're born of God. They're not born of men. That which is of the flesh is flesh. And here's another thing that it is. It's temporal. It dies, it rots, and it goes. Right? But that which is born of God or birthed from God is what? Eternal. Never ending. That's why you have this thing in you called what? Eternal life, right? Everlasting life. Eternal life. Everlasting life. So here's what the Lord's been establishing in us, right? Me. Listen, I want to love people. I want to love my enemy. I want to prosper. I want to love my wife. I want to love my kids. I want to love my church, right? I want to prosper in this life. I want to have wealth. I want all of those things. And I cannot do any of those things for myself. Because I can't love my enemy. I want to strangle my enemy. I can't love my enemy. Right? I say that I want to love my wife. But I remember distinctly, and I don't have to go into stories, even though I want to. But I'm not going to go into stories because I remember the thing. See, I grew up as a pretty good kid. I just didn't know Jesus. I got married like a pretty good kid. Right? I just really didn't know Jesus. I needed time to really come to know him. And can I tell you something? When you looked at my marriage, you could tell. If you asked my wife and you saw the look on her face, you could tell that I didn't know Jesus, right? You could tell. You could look at her and you could know something's wrong, right? Why? Because I didn't know. I didn't know. But I was good. As far as people go in the earth that are born of women, I was pretty good, right? But that's what you get. That's what you get. When you marry something that's pretty good, that is of this world, you get something that's pretty good, that's of the world. And then we want to complain about what you got. Well, you picked it, right? You picked it and you said yes, and you put that thing right on your finger, right? And you said, he's the one I want. So you did it, you picked it, so now you're living with it, right? And now you want to get out of it. But you see, the thing is, but the way to not have to even get that far is to wait. Wait for what? Wait till he knows. Because until he knows, he's not worthy of you. A child of this world, listen, I ain't getting into the whole unequally yoked thing, and it's not about having some kind of religious rule that if you're saved and the other one isn't. Here's why. God is smart, right? God is smart. You're of God. Everything you do is of God. Everything that is of the Spirit is Spirit. So you marry everything that is of the flesh that is flesh. Is there going to be problems there? Of course there's going to be problems there, right? It's like oil and water, right? And oil and water, they try to mix sometimes, but it don't work real good. And oil and water can try to make it work. But why isn't it working? Because all we can think about is the now. I want that, I want that, I want that. And after you're in it and you're suffering through it, I want out, I want out, I want out. Right? But fix it first. Know first. Know first. And you know the cool thing is? That the Lord, when you have Him, He takes your heart and He tells you that's the one. My wife was saved and I was not. And the Lord showed my wife He's the one. She just didn't wait long enough. That's all. She just needed to wait a little longer. And our marriage at first would not have been as bad as it was. It could have been as good as it is now. Right? You see what it is? It's not even sometimes that we don't pick right. Right? Because you can have your eye in the right place. It's just you just gotta wait. You gotta wait until it's ripe. You have to wait until things are ready. Right? You have to wait until things are prepared for you, right? Until things are prepared. So that's a whole lot of stuff that doesn't have a whole lot to do with what I'm talking about. So we're gonna get off of that. So let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You know, the funny thing is, you know, I think a lot about these kind of things, right? Because my daughter just got married, newly married, a little bit over a year, 2 years. How long has it been? 2 years already. Time flies. But you know what I always think about, right? I don't have to bring them two together to counsel them in their marriage. I just have one prayer, that they would both grow closer to Jesus every day of their life. And then that's it. Then they got everything. They got everything. Right? They got everything. If your wife, because we're right back on it again. Okay. So if your wife, right, if she is not the thing that you've been expecting, she just isn't it. Right? She may be the right one, and it may be going great. But listen, if she is learning to love the Lord, get off of her back. Right? If your husband is not where you think he needs to be, because you're the judge of the earth. So if your husband is not where you think he needs to be, but he is going in the right direction seeking God, get off of his back. Right? Because he's doing what he ought to be doing. He's doing the only thing he should be doing. Because you already saw what it looks like when he depends on himself. Failure. Right? Doesn't work. But if he's seeking the Lord, leave him alone so he won't stop and be discouraged. Right? And you don't have to tell him how awesome you are in comparison to him. Just leave him alone. Right? Just leave him alone and let him do it. Right? In the same way the husband, right? That's how you love. You know what the cool thing is? You just both. Marriage is simple. Marriage is simple. It is one of the most simple institutions that there is. Why? Because the closer I get to him, the more I understand marriage. Because I'm married to the Lord, right? The more I come to him, I just know marriage more. And I'm not even learning. I don't have to learn earthly marriage. See, because that's where the church goes wrong, right? The church tries to have things and brings people together to teach them earthly marriage, right? What the heck do they want to learn earthly marriage for? Earthly marriage stinks. It stinks. The marriage in this world stinks. But what is good? What is good? What is good? What is good? What are good friendships? What are good marriages? The ones that he brings together. His will coming to pass. See, that's what we're talking about, right? Because we got to get back on at some point, right? So the will of God coming to pass in your life can only happen, listen. And it's funny, right? Because we've known this. But let me just say, we've known it and we've been saying it. We just haven't heard it, right? We say, the will of who? God. The will of God. What man can bring the will of God to pass? What man can think so highly of himself that he can actually say, the will of Almighty God I can bring to pass? What can you do? What man has there ever been created ever who could bring the will of Almighty God to pass? You know who can bring the will of God to pass? The Spirit of God. Right? The Spirit of God. That's why, listen, simple things that we try to teach our children with fruits, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Who can birth the things of the Spirit? Just the Spirit. Right? I mean, fruit is birth, right? The fruit of your loins, right? That's your child. Right? Fruitfulness. Who can bear the fruit of the Spirit other than... Listen, if you find out a different way, let me know, because that's the freakiest thing I've ever seen. If you can see someone else give birth to the things of the Spirit other than the Spirit, let me know where that is. Because there's churches all over this world telling you that you can be, that you can love. And they not only tell you that you can, they pressure you to do it. You ought to be able to love your enemy. You ought to be able to act like a godly person. You ought to be able to give to your wife. How could you have done such a despicable thing? Pressuring the church, right? Burdening her. Burdening her. And all that God wants her to do is to rest on her back, which is the place where birth comes, right? That's how a woman births, right? Is on her back. And he's just on her back with her heart on him. You know, that was the whole thing with the Jews putting as frontlets before their eyes. You know what he was teaching them? Just keep your eyes on me. Just keep your eyes on me. Just keep your eyes on me. John 3, and let's look at verse number 1 is good, I guess. John 3, 1. John 3, 1. Look at John 3, 1. I'm telling you, my gosh, it's really, it almost feels like it's just like things are just, everything just coming together like where it meets to all of the things that he's been teaching us and telling us. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus that night and he said, Rabbi, people always ask all kinds of stuff and Jesus never answers people's questions. Right? Jesus is not there to answer your question. He's there to speak what the Spirit is speaking, right? He's there to tell you. Jesus does not... You ever wonder why people ask him one thing and he says another? Right? You ever curious a little bit? Like, he didn't even tell you that. Why are you even answering that? Right? Why are you saying what they didn't ask you? Because he's saying what the Father wants to say to you. So it's more important, right? It's more important to know the voice of God that Miss Marianne was talking about. It's more important to know the voice of God than to know what John 3:16 says. Because you can read John 3:16 until your eyeballs fall off, and that doesn't mean you're hearing the voice of God. Right? Because it's what God is showing you and what He's telling you. And that is so apparent, right? What has He been telling us? Four letter word, right? Rest. Why? Because He wants you to be what? Fruitful. He wants you to be fruitful in your life. In what area of your life? Every single cotton picking area of it. In your finances, in your marriage, in your home, in what you build, in your career, prospering you ahead and moving you ahead. He says that it is God, the blessing of the Lord, that gives you the power to get wealth. Or you can chase after it yourself. Okay, so there's always an imposter to this, right? So it says, he came to the Lord and said all kinds of stuff to him. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man doeth these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered him exactly what he didn't ask. And he said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, right? What does that have to do with his question? Not a single thing. He knows why he's there. And he knows what he needs, but his question is the least of it, right? So you know what we do? We open up our Bible in the morning because we're having financial problems. So we heard that if you take every verse that mentions money, which none of them do, right? Because they mention money, but they ain't about money, right? The Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of Wall Street, right? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's intended for that purpose. But we think that if we read enough verses about how God wants us to prosper, we will prosper. The only thing is you have to get to know the one that prospers you. Right? It's the blessing of God that makes a man rich, right? Not the verses about prosperity that you read. You see, it's not hard. And he didn't never meant it to be hard. He just said, just learn of me. Learn of me. Come to me, all you that are heavy laden. When you're heavy laden and you got worries and you got cares and you got plans and you're nervous and you're anxious, when you got all of that going on in your mind, well, what's always the answer? Come to me. Don't use the Bible like an encyclopedia. Come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest. He said you will find rest for your what? It's not about resting this, is that you rest this. And if you rest your soul, right, you will be fruitful if you rest your soul. So he says, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because only to those that are sons of God, that are children of God, has it been given to them to see. The disciples ask, why do you teach them in parables? Because seeing they don't see, and hearing they don't hear. So he says that to them. And then Nicodemus saith unto him, and he said, can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? So how is he hearing? He's hearing born of a woman. Jesus ain't talking to you about being born of a woman. He's talking to you about being born of God. But all this man can hear is being born of a woman. So he says unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water. It's called the washing of water by the word. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, right? And washes her and cleansed her by the washing of water by the word. Lest a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So right there, you just heard the rest of your life. Water and Spirit. Water and Spirit. Water and Spirit. That's the rest of your life. Revelation of who Christ is by His Word. What did He tell him in John 15? You are already clean. Washed. Because of the what? Word that I have given you. You are already clean. Washed. Because of the Word that I have given you. The cleaner your eyes are, the cleaner that your eyes are, the more you will see salvation working itself out in your life. The cleaner that your eyes are. Clean eyes is a good thing. He says, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is what? He didn't say sin. He said flesh. You sin with your flesh. Flesh is not sin. Flesh is flesh, right? That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. Orange tree, right? Can you get apples? Because if the tree is good, what kind of fruit do you get? Good fruit. If the tree is bad, what kind of fruit do you get? Bad fruit. If the tree is flesh, can you get spirit fruit? My God, if you got that, if you can see that, you will see everything that the Lord has been teaching us for years, if you can really see what you just said. Because we don't act like we said that, right? Can a tree of flesh produce fruits of spirit? No, you just said. No, you just said. You know what actually what he says? Is that the Spirit quickeneth, he says. What that means is, right, the Spirit gives life. Life can only come from where? From the Spirit tree. Life can only come from the Spirit tree. What comes from the flesh tree? Yes, it does. Right? That's exactly where it comes from. Death and corruption comes from the flesh tree. But life comes from the Spirit tree, right? But if you keep hearing, this will bless you. Listen to what he says. He says, because I know that if there are things that go contrary to the Christian culture of this world, is this message. But that's okay. Because we're going to preach it anyway. So here's the thing, right? That if you see that and you say, Lord, my flesh... He didn't say sin. He said your flesh. My flesh cannot produce life. And what we asked the congregation on Friday is we said this. What area of your life would you like the life of God in? And the correct answer would be every part of my life. Right? So you just described to yourself and learned how you are to live. He says, since we live by the Spirit, then let us also walk by the Spirit. That's the answer for the rest of your life. He says, you already live by Him. You already have life by the Spirit. You were born again. Walk that way then. Walk that way. Why? Because it's the only way. Here's what it is. You can try to be the best wife that you can be, and it will never be enough, and you will always look for gratification and thanksgiving for what you're doing, and you will never get enough thanks for all the effort that you're putting forward. But when the Spirit of God works through you and loves your husband and your family like Christ loves the church, right? When the Spirit of God works through you as a husband to do those things for your wife, then you never look for thanks. Why? Because it ain't you doing it. And if you ain't doing it, see, here's what the Lord said. If it is of work, it is of debt. When your flesh works, you know what it wants to do? It wants to get paid. When your flesh works, it wants to get paid. How inconsiderate can people be? Look at all that I've done for this woman all the days of her life, and that's how she repays me? You ever heard that before? That's how she repays me? Why are we looking for repayment? Because we've been working. We've been working, and people want to be repaid when they work. But when it is of grace, it is not of debt. When it says, when a man worketh not, it is of grace and not of debt. So you know what you do? You thank Him. And you say, Lord, the only reason my friendships, my marriage, my job, my life is where it is today is because of what you're doing and not because of me. Right? Just because of what you're doing. Because it's not of debt. So people don't owe you anything. But what is our culture today? Just turn on the TV at any time of day. It doesn't matter. Any time of day. It doesn't matter what time of day you turn it on. Just turn it on and flip to the channels and you will find people saying that somebody owes them something. Right? You know why? Because people lost the art of what? Giving. And you know why our nation is going this way instead of being blessed that way? Because it is always more blessed to give than it is to receive. And our nation is becoming a nation that only knows how to receive. Therefore, it's eating itself up. Right? But if the church can learn how to give, maybe we can teach the world again. And not just some, right? We may not be able to teach it all, but we can teach some. Right? We can teach some. That's one of my unbelieving family members told me. What use is it for you to be a pastor anyway? It's not like you can reach the whole world. Yeah, but I can reach that one, and 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 that one. Right? You can't do it all, but you can reach many. Multitudes. And then those that you reach can reach more. And those that you reach that reach the reached can reach the reached of the reached. Right? And it just keeps going, right? And it becomes an inheritance for your children's children's children. Right? Pretty powerful to preach the gospel, right? It's a good thing to teach the gospel to our children. So he says, look at this. He said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Check this out, what he says. The wind. And the wind is always a symbol of the Spirit of God. It's actually the same word, pneuma. Pneuma is wind and pneuma is spirit, right? So he says, the wind or the Spirit bloweth or goes where it listeth, where he wills. What are we talking about today? The will of God, right? The Spirit goes where it wills, right? The Spirit does in other words, the only thing the Spirit of God in you does is the will of God. He does nothing else. Jesus said he doesn't speak on his own. He doesn't do whatever he wants. He doesn't have a different personality than I do. He does what he hears from me, and what I hear I get from the Father. So, right? So that's what the Spirit of God does. So he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. So you can hear, and that's the only thing you can do. Listen, can you understand this? You can hear the wind, but that's all you can do. Let's put it in physical terms for a second. And you can understand the physical term with the spiritual anyway, but let's talk on that level for a second, right? Go outside, right? And you, just, we're talking about just fleshly things, right? Go outside and tell the wind to go that way. Just try it. See if it works, right? You can hear the wind blowing in your ear, but you tell it to go right instead of left. Can't do that, right? You know why? Because no one can do the will of God except the Spirit of God. Can't tell the wind what to do. Same way you cannot manipulate the Holy Spirit to do something for you when he is not the genie of Aladdin, right? He ain't there for you to rub three times and pop out, and you ask him and he gives to you. It's not how it works. You have already freely received. He says, have I not given you my own son? How will I not with him freely give you all things? If you don't know who the him is, you can't receive, and you pray amiss because you don't know. And sometimes people do that. They pray, they have the right heart to pray. They're just praying amiss because of just ignorance, because they don't understand and they don't know. Right? But thank God he still teaches, right? Even when you ask a dumb question and you get no answer, God keeps teaching you. Right? And you say dumber things and he still keeps teaching you. Because it's okay, right? Because we're all learning and growing. But look at what he says. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou heareth the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. Can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. You can't manufacture the Spirit of God to get him to do the will of God. You can't, listen, here's what you've been told. What you have been told is that you know that you are blessed when you can be in the center of the will of God. Right? How do you find the middle of that? I mean, somebody help me, right? Because if that's where I'm blessed, is when I'm in the center of the will of God, I want you to help me find the middle so I can get in it. Right? But no man knows the middle. Right? Because any man that believes that does not know the will of God. Right? Any man that thinks that does not know the will of God. Listen, if you can hear for the remainder of the service, this will bless you. Listen, here's the thing. The will of God, that's why it's called the will of God. He wants to do it. He wants to do it so bad. The will in you, he wants to do the will of God so bad. But here's what he knows. That which is of the flesh is just flesh, and it'll never get anything from the spirit tree, right? It'll never work that way. You can try. See, here's what people say all the time. Just answer the question for yourself with what you already know. People say that being in the center of God's will is because they read their Bible that morning, and then they prayed, and then they went to work. And they figured when they feel good about themselves, when they're breaking their arm off, patting themselves on the back, they think that's the center of the will of God for them. But it's not the center of the will of God. It's not the center of the will of God. They don't even know what the will of God is. Listen, can I tell you something? The will of God is not for something for you to get into. The will of God is not something for you to get into. The will of God is something that He brought into you. Right? The will of God, listen, the will of God is the desire, the power of one to be able to bring that which God wants to do to pass in the world. You can't wield that. You can't wield that. It's not an instrument for you to work certain ways, right? So you can know how to do it, right? You can't wield the world, the word of God. You know what he says? Let me explain this to you. Forget about the will of God, because that's like this big, right? Let's talk about this big. That big, right there. Let's talk about that big right there. Giving someone a prophetic word, which is just one thing, one sentence that you can say to someone that is from God. Forget about the will of God. It's this big. Let's talk this big, right? This big. To give someone a word from God that will help them. You know what your Bible says? That those are called spirit. The spirit of grace is who gives that. And it comes as the spirit what? Wills. As the Spirit wills, because it's His will. God can speak something prophetic into someone's life. You can't do that. God can do that in you, but you can't do that. Daniel did not prophesy to the king. God prophesied to the king, right? You know what I'm saying? It wasn't Elijah that told the king, it will not rain for 3.5 years. God said that through that man's mouth, right? And that's why it happened. If Elijah would have said it, it would have rained the next day. Right? If he would have said, it will not rain except at my word, it would have rained when it was going to rain. Right? But God said it's not going to rain, therefore it what? It's not going to rain. Because God said it's not going to rain. You see what the thing is? When you get to a place in your life, and that is a wonderful place to be, but if you get to the place in your life where you said, Father, the will of God can only come to pass by God. You're the only one that can bring your will to pass. If you can say that and believe that and understand that, right? It will bring you to rest, because you know what you know. What is the only thing you can do then? Hear the wind. Just hear. He brought up Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter said all kinds of silly things and wanted to build all kinds of dumb things. Right? But he's up there nonetheless. And what God the Father speaks from heaven so they will open up their ears and shut their mouth. This is my beloved son. Didn't mention Elijah and didn't mention Moses because they're not important. Right? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So let's end over here. Can we go to Romans chapter 12? That's a good place to end. And it seems like we're ending early, because normally I go to 12:15, but we're not, because we had no announcements, no nothing. So we've been doing really good. So we're going to end soon here, very quickly. All right. Hallelujah. So look at Romans chapter 12 and verse number. And if you hear this, I tell you, just if you believe that the Lord can speak something into your life that's going to help you, right? He can do it and He will. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Look at this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Your body. Present my body. What do you want to do with it? Right? Present your body. So what do you want to do with it? Do you want me to present my body? What are you going to do when I present it? Right? He says, present your bodies to God, a living sacrifice. And then your brain goes tilt, right? Because some of you are too young for this, right? But we used to play pinball machines, right? And then if you rock the pinball machine, you could get it to go where you want, right? Because if the thing ain't moving, you just move the whole machine, right? But then they developed this little thing that if you want the ball to go right and you push too hard, the thing goes tilt and your game's over. So that stinks, right? But that's what your brain does sometimes, right? It goes tilt. Why? Living sacrifice. I thought a sacrifice was dead. But you're saying it's living. You want me to present my body alive to you, but like it's dead. Yes. Yes. Right? You want me to present my body to you alive, but like it's dead. Right? Galatians 2:20 says what? It's no longer I that live. It's no longer I that live. That means you're what? But Christ that lives in me. That means you're what? Alive. So that makes you a what? A living sacrifice, right? So he says, therefore, I beseech you by the mercies of God, right? That he's begging, right? He's imploring, right? That's just a fancy word for I'm begging you to hear this, right? He says that you present your body as a living sacrifice. If your body is a living sacrifice, it cannot do whatever it wants to do. Your flesh, that is. But remember, you know what? When I learned this stuff, I said, Lord, thank God for opening up my eyes. Because people think you're missing something. If out of the tree of the Spirit comes life, what comes out of the tree of flesh? Death. How hard is it to let go of death? Right? When you know, how hard is it to not use something that the Bible says is not profitable in the least to you? Not profitable. The Spirit quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing. The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Look at what he says. And be not conformed to this world, which uses the tree of flesh, but be transformed, your body that is, because your spirit's already transformed by God, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's the only thing that you can do with the wind? Hear the wind. Be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. Right? Because it's been given to you to see. He says, and be not conformed to this world. Sorry. Go up a little tiny bit. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. I don't even know how we skip right over that. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, being alive from the dead, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Which is your reasonable service. I closed it, right? Which is your reasonable service. You know what reasonable service means? It's the only thing that makes any sense. It's the only thing that makes any sense, right? So here's where you wrap up the whole thing. When you came to Christ, you died, and then your spirit was made alive unto Him. It makes no sense to you, something that is dead, to do good things when you have Him who is good to do His own will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect, right? Listen, all of the things that he's been teaching, that the mind goes against. You're telling me that you want me to be lazy? You're telling me that you don't want me to do anything? When a man does not know God and is not inhabited by the Lord, and he tries to do this, he'll become a lazy bum. That's what happens. When men rest their flesh, and that's all that they got, they become lazy. Right? When men rest their flesh and say, Father, you work. Right? They become Elijah. They become Moses. They become David. They become Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul. They become men and women of God. They become men and women that in the greatest tribulations, they do great works, that Daniel says in chapter 9. Great works they will do. Even in the midst of the worst tribulation of the world, they will do great works. In the middle of famine, they will eat. In the middle of the worst economic downturn, they will prosper. Why? Because it's men that have learned, listen, to it's not I that live, but a Christ that lives in me. Listen, while you leave today, if you can do this one thing, if you can hear, and we're going to just take not even 5 minutes to do communion, and we'll dismiss in prayer as we do communion. And maybe you can go ahead and we can start serving them anyway. Thank you. So listen, as they go around, if you could have this in your mind, you know, what it is that God wants to do in you by His will. The thing, listen, it's only been, how long has it been? It's only been maybe an hour and a half. Right? All of the things that the Lord was saying during praise and worship, all of the things through the message, that you would just hear that, and that you would guard your heart and hear that. Listen, it'll help you. It'll help you. He's saying it and He's doing it for a reason. You can't plan this stuff, honestly. I didn't get with my daughter Lindsay and say to her, hey, you know, we're talking about this today. Can you get us songs that match that? Right? You know what we were doing? I was sitting there in that chair. Who normally leads praise and worship here? She does, right? I'm sitting there, and the Lord has given me a prayer, and you know what I said to Him? I said, Lord, I don't open up in prayer. She does. And then you know what happens? She gets up from behind me, and she says, Daddy, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking maybe that you ought to lead praise and worship today. How do you plan something like that? How do you do that? How do you just manufacture it? You just make it happen, right? It's beautiful. Listen, He wants to do so many beautiful things in our lives just because it's Him, and He can do that. The Spirit of God can do the will of God on the inside of you. But you know what it's going to take? It's just going to take rest. That's all it's going to take. It's going to say, Lord, I can't provide for my family. All these years I have thought that I need to be the provider for my family, and I can't. And then you know what happens? He does. He does. Right? He does. When you know, as a dad, if you have young children, You can speak things into their lives that they'll never forget. Right? Never forget, but they could be wrong things that they'll never forget. Wrong things, incorrect things. Or you can speak to them through the Spirit of God, and things, those things that they'll never forget will be from Him and not from you. You know, He's such a good parent. He's such a good friend. He's such a good neighbor. He's so good at every single thing that He does. He's so good at it. You know what we ought to do as a church? Do the only thing that's reasonable. Let Him do it. Just let him do it. And all that it takes to let Him do it is for you to say, Lord, all I'm going to do is hear the wind, and I'm not going to tell the wind where what to do and where to point or where to go. I'm just going to hear the wind. Nicodemus couldn't even hear the wind. Right? He couldn't even hear the wind. The wind was speaking to him, and he couldn't hear what the wind was saying. Right? But we can hear the wind. We just don't have to tell the wind where to go. We can hear the Spirit of God. It's been given to us to know. We just don't have to tell Him what to do. It's good. He knows what to do. He knows what to do. How many of your prayers, can I ask you this? How many of your prayers are telling God what to do? Lord, I need money, so give me money. Lord, I need this, so do that. And then you know what happens? You pray, and then you look for what you told God to do. You don't say it in those many words. You don't say in your mind, I'm bossing God around, but you are. You're trying to tell Him what to do. So you tell Him what to do, and then the answer to your prayer is looking to do to see if God is doing what you told Him to do. And then when you don't see Him do what you told Him to do, you say that prayer doesn't work and God doesn't answer prayer. Right? That's what people do all the time. They've been doing it from the beginning of time. And when God answers your prayer, you're so blind to what you asked Him to do that you can't even see it if it was right in front of your face. Right? I was doing that around my house. It's even funnier. I have a different one. I guess I've done this several times. But I had a cell phone like this. And you know how your cell phone has everything, your calendar, all your stuff, and your phone numbers and stuff. And I'm talking to this lady on customer service, and she says, listen, can you get your number for this thing? And I said, oh yeah, hold on, because I know I have an app where I keep all my secret stuff in there, right, that you can't have a password to, right? So I got all my stuff in there, and I'm saying, hold on a second. And I'm looking all over the house for my phone. Right? All over. I'm going up. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm so sorry. I'm going up and down in the kitchen. And you know where it is? Right here. Like your glasses on your head. Like your pen in your ear or in your pocket. It's the same thing over and over again. You tell God what to do, and then you're looking for the answer, but it's right there in front of your face. It would slap you in the cheek if you let it. Right? But you don't know it's there. Why? Because you can't hear the wind. Because you're telling God what to do, and He's not doing it your way. Because His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And His ways are higher than your ways. And He does what He wants. Right? And when you let Him do what He wants to do, that's good. Right? And God doesn't do what He wants when people don't let Him do what He wants to do. That's the truth, right? People think the sovereignty of God means that God controls everything. Well, I can stand up here then and lie to you, right? And I didn't make that up. I heard a preacher say that, and it's so true, right? He said people used to criticize him all the time. That the sovereignty of God, he argue with him. That you're telling me that God can't do whatever He wants? Well, if God can do whatever He wants and He controls everything, then that means that every murder that happens, God's controlling that. And every rape that happens, God's controlling that. And every preacher that lies to his congregation, God is doing that. That's not true, right? Because God controls the things and is sovereign over the people that allow Him to be sovereign in Him. That's why we pray a prayer, even if this is rubbing you the wrong way and your hair in the back of your head is standing up, you pray a prayer that says, let your will be what? Done. If He controlled everything, why would you pray that? If He controlled everything, why ask God to do His will? Because God reigns where you let Him reign. That's why it's called the kingdom within you. They asked Jesus, where is the kingdom of God? He said, it's not with observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. If there is a kingdom, there is a king. And if there is a king, He reigns. And if He's in you and you let Him reign, the things that can happen, right?
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringingintheharvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.